The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710 for ISN. 888-710-4476. The updates for you regarding sports, I've got them. Edmonton beating the Stars 6-3. So we've got our Stanley Cup final set. It will be Florida versus Edmonton. If it sounds familiar, it is. It was last year's matchup. Here's a fun fact that I just saw over at sportslogos.net. Hockey greats avenging their first Stanley Cup final losses. Ready? In 1983, Wayne Gretzky lost to the Islanders. The following year, he won the Stanley Cup by beating the Islanders. In 2008, Sidney Crosby lost to the Red Wings. In 2009, he followed it up by beating the Red Wings. In 2024, Connor McDavid lost to the Panthers. In 2025, Connor McDavid will be taking on the Panthers. Can Canada get its first Stanley Cup in 30-some years? We will see. The Stanley Cup starts next Wednesday. So we are hockey-less for a while. It's been every night, frantic, chaotic, and now 6 days off. There will be NBA, not tomorrow, but Saturday, as the Knicks beat the Pacers 111-94. It didn't feel as much like it was going to slip through the fingers like it did the other night, but, you know, the Pacers, they're tough. We'll talk much more about this one, what Game 6 is going to look like. You know, do the Knicks come out tense? Do the Pacers maybe come out tense? Because if they take it to a Game 7, you're back in New York, but also last year they know how to win a Game 7 in New York, although that was against a more depleted team health-wise. So we've got a Game 6 that's going to be on Saturday night. And if there's a Game 7, that would be on Monday night. So that series still alive regardless. The NBA Finals will start on the 5th of June. That is next Thursday. Much more on that with you. I want to talk about this Knicks-Pacers game from all the angles we always do. But first, it's Thursday, 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Pacific. Let's fire up the Bartometer.
There are debates, there are hot takes, there are strong opinions, but in the quest for the truth, there is only one way to get the final say. It's time to fire up the Bartometer.
It is time to fire up the Bartometer, which for the last year and a half has been a fun segment. I use my AI and it helps me create a list. Yeah, I mean, if there's an AI tool to do that, all right, that's not taking away anybody's job. It's just a resource to it. It's like looking at an encyclopedia. Yeah, that's good. I'm getting a little worried, as I've been telling you, about what AI is going to become, and by the time you're as worried as me, it may be too late. I just don't know what jobs are going to be around. Although, I was talking about this with some other sports radio buddies, and the point was, yeah, maybe AI can take over sports radio, but can anybody be as mediocre in my takes as me? Can AI be as, like, the Indiana Pacers are destroying my livelihood, and I'm not even a Knicks fan, like me? No. AI can be great, but it can't be mediocre. And I think that's where humans have a chance. With that being said, it does help me with this segment, so I will use it tonight. The list for tonight is which quarterbacks face the most pressure in 2025. However you want to view pressure, I left it open to interpretation. It could be, are you going to lose your job? It could be, do you make a lot of money and you can't suck? It could be, have you been good in the playoffs? or the regular season rather, and not the playoffs, where does the pressure lie? Now, really, about 26 out of 32 quarterbacks probably fall into some level of legitimate pressure. But the Bartometer is giving me the top eight. At number eight, number eight is going to be a guy that I think if you were to scratch out a list like this on a napkin, you might forget about. That's Bryce Young of the Carolina Panthers. He was the number one overall pick in 2023 and has been overshadowed already by C.J. Stroud. A 4-20 record in his starts, benched last year for Andy Dalton, only really got the job back because Andy Dalton got in a car accident. And he's okay. He did show promise at the end of 2024, but overall he was the 30th ranked passer in the league. The Panthers have given him weapons. Last year, this year, they are trying to help him succeed. He's got to cement himself as the cornerstone of that organization because they pulled the trigger quick on him last year, and now with all these weapons, you know, you got to make sure you get it done or they will be looking elsewhere in a year's time, especially if they're atop the draft again with a quarterback-friendly draft coming out in 2026. Bryce Young at number eight. At number seven, you know, at some point, we need to start to see Kyler Murray win some football games. This guy had a five-year contract, $230 million. His career record's just 36-45-1. Last year, he had a league-worst 31.9 passer rating in the fourth quarter. He's got weapons in Marvin Harrison Jr., Trey McBride, but Kyler is supposed to be the weapon. Remember, the Cardinals drafted a quarterback in Josh Rosen, and then the next year could get Kyler Murray, so they didn't care about what capital they spent. They thought, this is your guy. They don't care about all the money that it takes to retain these guys. They thought, this is his guy. When we talk about quarterbacks and how it's not about, are you worth $55 million? It's about, hey, it's your turn. Your time is up. Do we feel like you're good enough? Then other options we could find. And we always say in most cases, yeah, teams have to do that. And then we say Daniel Jones. You know, the Giants shouldn't have given the $40 million a year to Daniel Jones. But sooner rather than later, we're going to have to start extending that to Kyler Murray. Because he hasn't been a great investment either. So I think there's some pressure on him. Bartometer agrees. Kyler Murray of the Cardinals at number seven. And number six, quarterbacks with the most pressure next season. I may have personally kept this one off the list because I don't think the pressure is from him or on him in a natural setting. I think the Colts are jerking him around too much. Anthony Richardson. He's the number four overall pick in 2023. He's had some injuries. He sat out that play, which is like the worst thing that's ever happened, I guess, in football, the way that it was treated. And also, they signed Daniel Jones. Here's the pressure with Daniel Jones. Every quarterback that is up for should you be the starter can beat out Daniel Jones. He is the benchmark of a guy that should give you just enough competition that you can beat out. And not to, you know, have him catch strays on two different guys in this list. But that's where there's like a Daniel Jones line. We call 200 batting average the Mendoza line. The can you beat this guy out in camp is the Daniel Jones line. Big investment, big opportunity, big chance and big pressure for Anthony Richardson. At number five, so I hate to do this again, but Daniel Jones is going to catch some more strays as we bring up Trevor Lawrence. Could be higher on this list. It's a five-year, $275 million contract. But what is he really? He was not the number one quarterback coming out of college what I mean by that, how I should rephrase that, is he was the number one quarterback coming out of college. He wasn't playing like one, but he got a pass because of the dysfunction that he's had to deal with all these different coaching changes throughout his tenure, whether it's Urban Meyer, Doug Peterson. Regardless, in his first 60 starts, his career stats are almost equal to that of Daniel Jones. 200-yard difference, pretty much the same pass TD interception ratio, completion percent around 63, 64 for both, passer rating 85 for Trevor, 84.3 for Jones, record for Trevor Lawrence 22-38, record for Daniel Jones 22-37-1. Trevor Lawrence, now with more weapons, Travis Hunter included, we got to figure out that you're the guy in Jacksonville. Otherwise, Liam Cohen's going to go shopping in next year's draft as well. Although, they gave up that first-round pick, so even more pressure for this to work. Number four. And probably the best guy on this list, and his contemporary in Josh Allen, not. I'm talking about guys that keep getting to the playoffs but lose by way of the Chiefs. Well, the Bills have been losing by way of the Chiefs. The Ravens have been losing by way of the Bills. Lamar Jackson's a two-time MVP with a 70-24 regular season record. His playoff record's 3-5, and it only gets amplified every time that he's in the playoffs. And it only gets amplified when you win more MVPs. I'm telling you, when you win more MVPs, you almost like want to stop winning MVPs until you win a Super Bowl. Because then it just kind of looks worse. Like, how are you so good then and not when it matters in the playoffs? So there's an immense amount of pressure on Lamar Jackson to not deliver in the regular season. We know he can. We know he will. He's got to do it in the postseason. At number three. This one might sneak up on you, but that's Justin Herbert of the LA Chargers. 0-2 in the playoffs, including being the quarterback when they lost to Trevor Lawrence in a game they were up 27-0. Not a good performance then. A really bad performance with four interceptions against Houston. What kind of playoff quarterback is he? Now, Jim Harbaugh is bringing a more run-oriented scheme. And he, Herbert, was, remember when Jim Harbaugh had some options? Where's the best place for him to coach? Well, it's got to be the Chargers. Well, why? This isn't good. That's not good. That's not good. But they got the best quarterback. Look, who's to say that J.J. McCarthy doesn't win over favors in Minnesota? Harbaugh doesn't want his guy. Who's to say that maybe just Herbert's not the guy? I believe that the Chargers have about 3 years to build a team that will get to the Super Bowl, and each year they're going to try to find pieces that are more Harbaugh's guy. Now they're changing things up at running back with Najee Harris and then Hampton out of college. They've been changing things on the line. They've been changing things defensively. Could they change things at quarterback? We don't think so, but Harbaugh's, he's got to see a winner out of Herbert at some point. I do think Herbert kind of skates under some criticism too. At number two, most pressure for a quarterback 2025. Another guy that signed a big deal. It's Tua Tagovailoa. 4 years, $212 million. Kind of surprised that they did get the extension with all that health concern. Remember, he had those two concussions in a week, three overall that we are aware of. And many cries for him to never play football again. And now everybody got their content for the week out of the way then and have moved on. He's efficient when healthy, but he's got to stay healthy. Also, the playoffs, they just do not look good. It's the whole team that doesn't look good, but he's a part of it. They need a big return on their investment. Otherwise, the Dolphins are going to be a team that's going to need to be looking to move on from quarterback. There's a lot of pressure on Tua. The Dolphins can't go 8-9 forever. They're a much better team than that. We think they have a much better coach than that. And it's going to be a matter of, well, what's going to go first if it doesn't work out this year, the coach or the quarterback? He's getting a lot of money, but I tend to think the quarterback may be the one to fall on the sword. And then at number one, that'll be Caleb Williams. Seth Wickersham book notwithstanding, Caleb Williams not only has being a Bears quarterback working against him, which in some way does take the pressure off because everybody goes there to die as a quarterback career. Actually, I mean, his stats last year, 3,500 yards, 87 passer rating, 62% of his passes, 20 touchdowns, 6 picks, rushed for nearly 500 yards. He's a better quarterback. He was a better quarterback, even in the pros, than I think we're giving him credit for. One of the problems is the guy that got drafted number two is Jaden Daniels, and he has taken the reins upon the best quarterback of that class, similar to Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. And Caleb, you got your weapons last year. Okay, that wasn't enough. Now you got your offensive line, and you got the right coach. There is expectation on the Bears. There is pressure because of that expectation. Caleb Williams comes in at number one on this list. According to the Bartometer, which is still happy to pump out lists before it does the unthinkable. At number eight, quarterbacks with the most pressure, Bryce Young. Number seven, Kyler Murray. Number six, Anthony Richardson. Number five is Trevor Lawrence. Number four, Lamar Jackson. Number three, Justin Herbert. Two is Tua. And one is Caleb Williams. Plenty of other guys could be on this list. Brock Purdy signed a big deal. Josh Allen needs to win in the postseason. Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, new faces, new places. Jordan Love, you got to live up to the contract. Dak Prescott, same thing. Even C.J. Stroud had a down year compared to the year he had the year before. So just because you're not on this list doesn't mean you're not facing a pretty good amount of pressure. That's what happens when you're the quarterback for an NFL team. That, my friends, is another edition of the Bartometer. As long as we're running on Windows 95, I feel like we won't have much to worry about. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Can take your thoughts on this. We'll revisit it maybe once or twice throughout the night. Also, the Knicks have kept the series alive with a 111-94 win over the Indiana Pacers. Game number six is going to be on Saturday. How does this play out? Last night we were talking about how the NBA needs to treat a NBA Finals with small markets with some decorum, with some excitement, with some enthusiasm. Well, maybe the old Knicks from the big city, the Big Apple, can push off that conversation. We'll talk about it with you when we return. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
That was the final call of Game 5 tonight on the Knicks Radio Network, 111-94. As the Pacers still have the 3-2 lead in Game 6, heads back into Indiana. So maybe they wrap things up on a Saturday night and, you know, you get another home crowd on a Saturday. Not the worst thing in the world for the Pacers organization, unless you lose. And then you're back at Game 7 against the Knicks, although we saw that last year and Tyrese Halliburton came in there and did well, wore the Reggie Miller choke sweatshirt after they won. Not before, because you only talk a big game after you win and not, you know, you don't talk first and then back it up. You do the thing first and then talk, which, you know, playground code, that's not how you do it. You gotta be on the same level all the time. That's what I say from the mean streets of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Specifically Rosano Elementary School. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Portion of the show brought to you by Hyundai, the all-new, all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 9. Space for up to 7, range for miles. You know what? I'm not even kidding. I drove by an Ioniq 9 the other day, and I thought, I can't wait to tell people about that. And I know I just did. Check it out at Hyundai. All right, so in this game, the Knicks had some foul trouble there again with Karl-Anthony Towns, but he does play 36 minutes, 24 points. Brunson, ever so clutch here tonight with 32 points. Mikal Bridges, Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson all starting, but not playing as many minutes. Went into their bench a little bit. 34 minutes for Josh Hart off the bench. Landry Shamet made a three, which was good enough for a standing ovation off the bench. Delon Wright was in there off the bench. Didn't do much, but he was in there. Miles McBride, they went to Precious when they were in some trouble with Hackam Mitchell Robinson in the third. So hey, look at this. Tom Thibodeau runs his guys into the ground. The Pacers getting all of this celebration. We can go deep into our bench. You know, we've showed you Tony Bradley in this series. TJ McConnell in there, Ben Shepherd in there, Obi Toppin in there, Bennick Mathurin, 23 points off the bench. He actually led the team in scoring. Even at one point, Rick Carlisle was like, okay, I'm going to show you Jairus Walker. This guy hasn't really played at all these playoffs. He knocked down two threes at 6 points. Nobody scored for the Pacers for their starters. Siakam had 15. Nesmith had 3. Turner had 5. Nembhard had 6. Halliburton only had 7 shots. He had 8 points. The starters only scored 37 points. 57 points scored by the bench. So they got the win. Backs against the wall. You're against the rope. What do? You get the win. You're at home. That's why if there is, when we talked about these 3-1 series, could any of them be extended? Well, only one of them is a shot after game 5, because Florida wrapped it up, Edmonton wrapped it up, the Thunder wrapped it up, and now we get a game 6, at least, Saturday night, but in Indianapolis. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, Mark in California, who at one point was going to go to this game, but he was also going to go to the other game. You going to game 7?
I talked to my wife today. Yeah, I'm looking at tickets right now for 7. I got a bunch of bills, but 7, I mean, come on. It's game 7. And if we force 7, I mean, that's just crazy, man. Now, if you looked at the last game in Indiana, the Knicks basically were getting all the calls. I mean, they out free throwed, Indiana, but there were a couple of crazy calls on Josh Hart. But dude, Karl-Anthony Towns takes the dumbest fouls I've ever seen, dude. It's just, it's crazy. That's why he just can't score 30 a game, because like he just gets into crazy fouls. The night that he scored 32, he had 5 fouls. And I was like, oh, my God, he's going to foul out. But, I mean, listen, you watch today's game, Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, first teammates to score 20 points the first 5 games of a conference final since Kobe and Shaq did it in 02. This is scary.
Well, scratch that off my notes since you just stole it from me. Thank you.
There you go. But not only that, though, I got even more stats. Tonight, Brunson, because everyone's comparing, I've seen so much Brunson slander, Bart. So much slander on Brunson. Shut up. The dude is a playoff goat, bro. He does not take a bad game, ever. Halliburton goes stretches where, guess what, he has bad games. Like Mikal Bridges, for all the talk of Allen Crabbe, he shut him down tonight. Now, we're not expecting Indiana to win. New York has all the pressure. Would it shock me if Indiana goes in there and Brunson, like, scores 15, 20 points and Halliburton's up to 40, no, it wouldn't, Bart. But
You know what I'm getting the sense of here?
Huh?
I'm getting the sense that there's a Mark that calls in when they win and there's a Mark that calls in when they lose.
Well, you know, the Indiana series and Knicks, everyone's like, oh, my God, Knicks are so much not better. These teams are evenly matched, though. It's not like there's
You're Indiana's me?
Better. I know, listen, you were saying the other day that Indiana's better. In my opinion, and let me ask you this, this is a big question. Do you think the Knicks would give OKC a better run than Indiana? And there's no question of that.
I don't. I don't.
What? You don't? Okay, so no. OKC plays trap defense, right? They play a trap defense, and they zone almost everybody. They would shut Indiana completely down. Completely down. Like, it would be, like, everyone thinks it would be close. They would win in five games. Be,
you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna come in. I'm coming in on Saturday. I'm going to work just because I want to know how your phone call is if they lose.
Listen.
You're going to be, oh, Brunson can't get it done. Halliburton's so good. Mark, let's talk then. I got to let you go, but good to talk to you as always. And I will not be working Saturday, but I am tempted because I do feel like we're getting a little bit of Mark there and a little bit of Mark here. We're getting a little bit of this.
Knicks have a better chance of forcing a game nine than you working on a Saturday.
Hey, I've busted up some Saturdays around here.
Yeah, that was before you got this show.
Those are 5-hour shifts.
Don't look forward to that anymore.
That fifth hour. That's a doozy.
Dude, try 6 to 8 hours in the booth here.
People are like, try an 8-hour job, you nerds. Hey, I've been prepping all day.
That's right. See, people only see the hours of the show. They don't see the work that goes into prior and post show.
And I had to help out at baseball practice again.
Oh, you're doing the Lord's work, man. That's too much.
And I had to wait for the microwave people.
How'd that work out?
Oh, and great. They said between 7:30 and 11:30.
They got there at 11.
No. I was the first one on their
list.
Oh,
no!
Yeah. So I was going to be up anyway. And then I had to pick up my kid at 3:30, so... You know, if I'm up till 11:30, I'm not confident in the nap I'm getting. But they were in at 7:30, out by 8:30. I went back to bed, woke back up at 12:30.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm glad it worked out. I was worried the inverse was going to happen.
No. And then my night sleep, you know, it's a bed. Obviously, my bride is there, but my kid's been crawling into bed with us. Okay. So not a lot of room for Uncle Barty on the bed, right? But when they're gone, I get it all to myself. So it actually behooves me to wake up and then go back to sleep so I can enjoy it a little more.
Are you enjoying the new mattress, by the way, which you still haven't told me which one it is?
Well, I don't know which one it is.
I mean, I would hope so. You dropped a couple of K on it, I'd assume.
Also, I don't know, like, which one I should say it is.
Yeah, they don't give us any sponsors, so we don't give them any pub. You just let me know off air, because I know the brand names.
Okay, but I really actually don't know.
And I'm just get waiting. The receipt, man. I mean, come on.
Just wait. I'm waiting for someone, you know, someone. If someone in sales wants to retroactively say I bought it, I could say, oh, the sleeve's been wonderful. But that would be lying, and I would never do that to you guys. By the way, I'm 6'5". 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll hear from the coaches.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And players, much more from you guys when we come back. Right now, here's an update with Gordon Damer. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Indiana shooting 40% tonight. Knicks shooting close to 50 as Rick Carlisle on the losing side of things in New York. Pretty sweet picture of TJ McConnell putting up a peace sign in front of Timothy Chalamet's face. I'm glad that this series isn't progressing to be as stupid as possible. 111-94 is the result with the Knicks winning, and that's what they needed to do. They need to win three in a row. So they did one. And now you need to win another one. And then if you guys are following the math, you need to win one more. So we'll see how that will progress. On Saturday will be the next game in this series. Nothing tomorrow. There's no basketball tomorrow. There's no hockey tomorrow. What are we going to do? I'm so used to straining my neck watching a game during the first half of the show. What are we going to do tomorrow? Oh, I got an idea. We got some meaningless UFL ball tomorrow.
That's right.
Because, again, they've got their conference championships that were decided by week 8 out of week 10. And it also doesn't matter where they play because they have to play in certain cities that aren't holding concerts or MLS games that weekend. So the game tomorrow night on Fox is St. Louis against DC, which is also the conference championship. So I don't know. We could watch to see, are they going to show each other anything? We could also watch to feel like we're part of something for like least watched thing to ever be aired on television. So maybe we can get into that tomorrow a little bit. That is yet to be determined. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Again, there's a game 6 coming up Saturday, and then Sunday games from here are only going to get harder, according to Rick Carlisle.
Everything gets more intense as a series continues to evolve, and it's great competition, but we weren't at the level compete-wise that we needed to be.
I think as far as, you know, there's plenty of takeaways that you can take out of this game. The Pacers starters were they didn't show up. I don't know what was going on there. Nesmith was missing shots. Siakam took 13. I mean, I guess he could have took more. He overtook one of the games the other night. Halliburton only had like 5 shots coming into midway in the fourth quarter. Excuse me?
7 shots.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't.
He took 7 for the game. It's all I'm saying.
Right, and I said he had 5 shots up until midway in the fourth quarter.
So if you're following the math, he took 2 more shots from that point on.
But then I was going to say he ended up with 7.
Ah, look at me jumping all over you.
A guy who most of the show, I'm not even sure if you're listening.
Definitely checked out 63% of the time.
Is jumping all over me on Tyrese Halliburton's shot attempts.
Listen, because that 37% that I am listening, like a hawk, like a battle hawk from St. Louis.
So did you say the initial thing on air, or was that in my ear?
That was in your ear, but since you dragged me out, I decided to drag you out as well.
Well, because I have no way to know what's in my ear and what's
you
not.
You can't discern the difference.
No. Seems like a design flaw.
Mm-hmm.
So if
like
I may just... Well, it's nice to talk to you.
That's what I'm here for.
midway through the fourth quarter. Midway through the fourth quarter. Halliburton only had 5 shots midway through the fourth quarter. But as Carlos Ortiz so eloquently tells you.
Words are hard.
He had 7 in the game. I can't, not to belabor this point, but I just can't.
I feel like that's just such a random point in a game to pull up that he had 5 shots midway through the fourth quarter. Why midway through in the fourth when the game is almost over? Either go after 3 quarters or go final.
Because that's when they brought him back in. And I was watching the broadcast during a commercial break. They made a point to say that, so I wrote it down.
I don't like that.
So you can question. Okay, that's fine. I'm glad we're... You can question my methods because I think you're right. That is kind of a weird stat to just say without any further context. If you only took 5 midway through the fourth quarter and you ended up with 7, why am I even telling you that he took 5 midway through the fourth quarter? Just say that he took 7.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I blame the broadcast. And Kevin Harlan, friend of show, not above reproach.
So I understand where you're coming from. I get it. I'm just shocked that I don't feel like you've ever corrected me on a stat ever.
No. This has to be the second time. We've almost been together for a year. I've definitely corrected you on one
names,
other stat.
Names, maybe, or you know, something. But it's never been that quick.
Or maybe it's the 60% of the time that I'm not checked in. There's probably a lot of stuff I'm letting go under the rug.
that's fair. Don't listen back to these shows on your own time. You would be mortified by the stuff I'm saying when you're busy putting up a podcast or screening a call or talking to Gordon or whatever you're doing. I am dissecting these men's bodies like no one ever has before, making fake quotes that I never said out of AI. Mike Ditka, the head coach of the New York Saints. Yeah, you caught that one. Okay, see, you've caught that one. Where's the poll? Which I'm happy for. We had a lot of balls that were coming towards us.
Mm-hmm.
Are we done? I like going down. What? You can't cut it off. I like going down.
All right.
I might suck my own self. I'm bigger than no man I've ever met. These are all like last week, too. I can't stop thinking about your wife. Oh, now we're back on track. All right. Okay. How about we play a soundbite? Can we play a soundbite?
What, that's not you?
Yeah, that's not me. Pascal Siakam. The Knicks just played harder tonight.
They played harder than us, I think. I think they played harder than us. You know, loose balls, like rebounds, like all that. We got to be able to win that battle.
Now, we'll hear from the Knicks a little bit later. Got one more soundbite to play for you. It's from Tyrese Halliburton. And he was asked about only taking 7 shots. Was he asked at all about just taking 5 shots midway through the fourth quarter?
Probably not. I think they just rounded it up to the 7.
All right. Well, here's his answer on his lack of shooting.
Rough night for me. I got to be better. Setting the tone, getting downhill. You know, I feel like I didn't do a great job of that. But I watched the film. There were some different things they did defensively. But for the most part, I think their base stuff was the same. They picked up the pressure a little bit more, tried to apply more as the game went on.
Well, and I think for all of us that are, you know, getting in line and registering early for Tyrese Halliburton slander on the presale market, you know, this just proves his worth to this team. He shot 23 times last game. That was a statistical game like we had never seen, where in the playoffs he had 32 points. He made 5 threes that night. He had 12 boards, 15 assists, 4 steals, and no turnovers. He hit benchmarks to have a stat line we've never seen in the playoffs. Tonight, just 2 for 7, missed his 2 three-point attempts, 6 assists, so he didn't, like, rack up possessions there, and he only ended up with 8 points. Still no turnovers, but 8 points. He's only got 6 turnovers in the series through 5 games. Very good. But I think it does, again, tell the importance of what he is to the team. Not that that needs to be questioned night in and night out. But the rest of the starters, too, are not picking up the slack. And if Pascal Siakam wants to say they played harder, maybe they did. But they put up enough shots and just not getting any really to fall. 37 points for the starters, 57 off the bench. Now, Benedict Mathurin came in, had 23. LB Toppin had 10. And now it's become, you know, the longer these series go, the more interesting the rotations become, because you've played this team now 5 times as we go into a game 6. So you're going to start to see, what else do I have in this tool chest? What else do I have in that kitchen drawer, you know, right above the garbage can, with where should we put this pen? Where should we put this bottle opener? Where should we put this bookmark? Where should we put this roll of tape? Where should we put this stupid thing that our kid brought home from the stupid store? It all goes in that drawer. Start to pull some of those guys out and see what you can get out of them. Landry Shamet played 14 minutes. He had a 3, 5 points. He got a standing ovation when he came off the court, and he had not played much up until game three, then playing a little in game four, and not really playing much against the Celtics either. They go to DeLon Wright a little bit. They went to Precious when they needed to get at least some size out there when Karl-Anthony Towns was in trouble. It was some stupid fouls that he had that they had to bring Mitchell Robinson in, but then they're hacking Mitchell Robinson in the middle of the third quarter. That's how the Pacers started to come back a little bit. So they had to take him out, and the broadcast was talking about any intentional foul like that. You should be take your two shots but get the ball. So not just the conversation we were having at the end of the game, but maybe extending to earlier to get rid of the hack-a-shack, as we more commonly know it. But, you know, to that, I say these guys, they're all professional basketball players. You got to, I don't care how tall you are, you got to be able to hit your free throws. So I get it that it's not as aesthetically pleasing, but you got to be able to hit your free throws. It's like, I just work on your free throws. I know for some it's very hard, but it is a big part of the game that entails everybody. Knicks Pacers, we'll hear from the Knicks a little bit later in the show. Want to revisit the Bardo meter, which another thing Carlos told me is that he hates the list.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks with the most pressure in 2025. We'll recap that next.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.